Next, I'd like to introduce somebody who really needs no introduction within the NASA family. This is, of course, Pete Warden, who's the NASA Ames Director. I think I'm not going to stick my foot in my mouth any more than I am. I know I would if I keep talking. So why don't we welcome Pete up to give us some welcoming remarks.
Welcome to what Alan Stern calls the UnCenter. For those of you that are my age, you remember that as being the 7-up of the NASA centers. Now, I always enjoy these initial discussions about what to do in case of emergency, and all you got to remember is if something bad happens, run screaming from the room, crumple everybody can, and get out of the building. So, in the best NASA fashion. So, anyhow, please pay attention to them, not me. I know what will happen. There'll be something happen. Somebody will get hurt. And they'll say, well, you know, the center director told us to do that. But I'm really delighted to see all of you here. In fact, this is the first meeting I've been to in a long time where, you know, I look out in the audience and, you know, there's hardly any pacemakers or other, you know, oxygen tents and so on. So this is a good meeting for space. So. You know, while you're here in the next few days, I think that it's an excellent opportunity to discuss the really key issue that's facing us. And I think, to my mind, there's only one thing to really remember about exploration is that we are embarked on the settlement of the solar system. And this is, you know, perhaps the most exciting thing that humanity has ever done, most important, I think, as well. And this is not just an American initiative, it's an initiative throughout the world. So the other thing to remember is that, you know, and I'm delighted to see that we've got folks here from a lot of different places, is that we need to understand how are we going to do this settlement of the solar system in an international manner. Now, NASA, I think, has made a pretty good start here. We are building the hardware that will take us in that first step, and I know there's a lot of controversy and argument about is this the right hardware. I was involved in some of the studies. I was put on them because I was a critic. In fact, Mike Griffin, after I was the first couple of weeks on the study team, he says, you know, you're doing even better than I expected, so stop it and being a critic. But I think the point is that this stuff's going to work. It is moving along. There's the inevitable technical problems, but as far as I can tell, we are on schedule and on budget to get the basic hardware that will take us in that next step. Now, I know people will criticize where we're going, what we're doing, but in fact, there's a meeting up the street here this week with a bunch of people that probably will criticize. More power to them, but I'm reminded of my family were farmers in Michigan. And one of the things that I think it was my uncle, but I couldn't tell because he had some moonshine at the time, but made some statement about that, you know, if you're trying to grow carrots, if you pull them up every week and see how they're doing, you're never going to grow any carrots. So I would like to commend that as we're building rockets, that if you keep changing them every few weeks, we're not going to get there. So I think we're well along on that. Now, by the way, this is the hardware I'm convinced that will take us not only to the moon, but to near-Earth asteroids and eventually to Mars. And hopefully we'll have some discussions of how that'll work. But I'm quite excited about that. There's been some preliminary studies that folks at a couple of the NASA centers have been involved with. So that's something that would be interesting to hear your thoughts on that. Now, the other part of this is that we are well along on conducting robotic missions. Just a week ago, the agency announced a whole series of new robotic missions to the moon. Of course, we have, near the end of this year, two missions going. The next one will go probably 2010, 2011. These are small, affordable missions. In a secret building over here, we've been developing some of the ways to do that. I have a wealthy set of neighbors over here at Google that are giving prizes for going to the moon. But one of the things to really, I think, pick up on is that affordable robotic missions into the inner solar system are now available, not just in the United States, but in fact, actually, the U.S. is far behind on that around the world. Now, as I mentioned briefly here on Google, the key to success here is private sector, and that's the theme of this conference, is what we can do with entrepreneurial opportunities. And this is one that I think is really very exciting. I'm really delighted that companies like Google, and as soon as they started working with us, there's another company up in Seattle, some little software company, talked to us through Micro something or other, Microspace or something like that. But they came down here and said, how much money did Google give you? And so I sort of lied to them, but they said, oh, we want to give you more, so I'm waiting for that check. But I love bidding wars. They're really wonderful. But it's really interesting. These are companies that aren't space companies. They're not the traditional aerospace companies. But they see a future in space and what we do. I've talked to a lot of the leaders of these companies. They are space freaks, quite frankly. And I think these are the folks that are going to power us into long-term settlement and really making a lot of the opportunity that space gives us. So I would commend, as you discuss over the next few days, to think about how some of these new industries, and it's not just the IT industries, but biotechnology, newer things like quantum technology, artificial intelligence, and so forth, that look to be that when you merge them with space, we really are on an exponential climb of capabilities. So this is a very exciting time to kind of put all these together. My own personal excitement about this, probably because I don't know anything about it, is that what can be done with biotechnology. When I got here, I discovered that actually NASA Ames, through our biological sciences and astrobiology expertise, has done a lot of work in this area. And I'm an astronomer, so I'm fascinated by, you know, biology. And again, I never had to take a biology course, so I never flunked it like I did some astronomy courses. But there's something called cyanobacteria, which is blue-green algae. And when I finally got to know about it a little more, it's pond scum. And for physicists, and this is the stuff that might have been the first life on Earth. In fact, it might have even come from Mars. Some people believe life on Earth originated on Mars. That lives on nothing other than carbon dioxide, sunlight, and water. And it converts the carbon dioxide to oxygen, converts a reducing medium to an oxidizing one. And that's 3.5 billion years ago what began to convert the Earth to a life-bearing planet. We think this is maybe one of the key technologies to inhabit other worlds, Mars, the Moon. At the minimum, to cycle waste, but maybe to modify these organisms to actually reduce the regulates you find there to produce fundamental ingredients like oxygen. So this is a very exciting area, and again, it's one to commend to think about what we can do with some of these new technologies. Another area that I'm very excited about is virtual reality. And we had a conference here in this room about 2 weeks ago with a lot of the people that do computer games. And other sort of virtual reality things. And we're not very far away from the Star Trek holodeck. I think I said that to some press person, and they put holodeck, and I guess they were confused with Holiday Inn's holodome thing. So anyhow, I learned you have to tell press a little more carefully. I think it was Keith Cowling who pointed out that the holodeck wasn't a holodeck. But at any rate, one of the things about this, and again, to think about this, is I got interested in space a lot of decades ago because I thought I was going to get to go. And only a small number of people have gotten to go. But through these technologies, like virtual reality, I think we're all going to get to go. And last and most important, we need you. And as has been pointed out frequently, about a quarter of NASA's employees can retire in the next few years. I'm encouraging a lot of them here to take up that option. But we need to make room for you folks. Of course, we're all available for high-priced consulting jobs, if you want my card afterwards. But again, I'm really looking forward to the conference, and I think there's a little party here tonight with some adult beverages. In the Bay Area, that's soda water. But but at any rate, I look forward to seeing seeing all your folks tonight. We'll be around here, and as much time as I can spend here, I'll try to do that. I really like to thank the mentors that we've got here to assist in this. You'll be seeing them during the conference, but I think it's going to be really fun and really interesting. I'm looking forward to the results of it. Also, I'd be happy to answer any brief questions here in the next 5 or 10 minutes. I have a security briefing to go to, so if I can delay that, that's all the more fun. But questions? No questions? Yeah, back. Well, other than me not getting fired for having this, I think really that a better understanding from your perspectives of what are the things we ought to be doing, and what are some opportunities and that we might not have thought about. Particularly interested in, one of the things that we find, if we can make some sort of either business case or philosophical case and go to somebody that has resources in the private sector, I think that's the key to this. Again, I'm very excited about, we've got 3 or 4 companies using private resources to develop launch vehicles. We've got a whole lot of groups now looking at what they can do with small satellites in space, thanks largely to Google, generous Google XPRIZE. So those are the kind of things, and if you can all be armed and arm us with ideas, I played a small role in persuading the Google folks to assist in this, but you had to have the right answer when they asked the question of, like, why would I do this? So I think if we have a good answer when somebody comes up and says, and it's not just, rich people, but it's government. I mean, we're going to have an administration change here in less than a year. Other countries, you're going to deal with government officials. But what's in it for the people or for entrepreneurs? So if you can give us those kind of bumper stickers, actually, I think that'll be very helpful. Other questions? Yep. Yeah, I think the question was how is Ames participating in lunar exploration? And the important thing to understand is that the U.S. space exploration policy and program that goes with it is across all of NASA. Every one of the centers has major roles in that. We here at Ames are leading a lot of the IT efforts, probably not surprising considering where we are. So developing the systems, the IT systems to support exploration. We're also the lead area for thermal protection systems. If you have to enter an atmosphere, whether it's terrestrial atmosphere or Martian atmosphere or Titan's atmosphere, it's got Ames on the outside. And that's a hard thing to do, I might add. But that's another area we're doing a lot. Human factors research, a lot of the how do we design cockpits? What are some of the human issues with setting up a long-term, initially an outpost and eventually a settlement? So we're doing a lot of work in that area. I mentioned biological sciences. A lot of the biological science support is being done here. In addition, on the science side, we're very heavily involved in a lot of scientific explorations, particularly lunar missions. Now we have the next mission that's going to get launched this fall is the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, which is being built at Goddard, and the Lunar Crater Observing and Sensing Satellite, LCROSS, which is being jointly built by us here and Northrop Grumman. And that's kind of a neat mission, by the way. Once we get rid of that Goddard junk, that wonderful spacecraft, then we're attached to the upper stage, and we direct that thing so that it impacts the lunar polar crater, blows a plume of material about 100 kilometers above the moon where we can assay it. See if we think there's water in the permanently shadowed craters on the moon. The more I look at this, having volatiles, having water and other volatiles, carbon compounds, is absolutely essential to settlement. If it exists there in quantity, that makes the moon a really good place for initial settlement. If it's not, we might have to rethink, you know, where do you, you know, how do you work settlement? So it's a very interesting experiment. The next mission after that that the United States has is LADEE. If I get this right, it's the Lunar Atmosphere and Dust Assessment. I'll remember what it is. I can't remember the mission what we're doing. But we're working that jointly with Goddard. That's going to be a low orbit skimmer, $80 million capped mission, and another very exciting mission. But we're going to fly that right on the, just above the lunar surface to detect residual atmosphere. We, you know, the moon has a very tenuous atmosphere. My deputy, after 2 drinks, said he wants to start a lunar helicopter program. I told him about that. We want to measure what the moon's pristine state is. And there's also some tentative measurements that suggest there is there are dust storms on the moon that are kicked up by solar activity. So we want to characterize that because those have a lot of implications when we go there. There's a lot of other things we're involved with. We're working with folks at Marshall on the Aries 5, key components of that. So again, a little bit of everything. But this center is pretty typical of NASA centers, and you know, about a third of our effort here goes into exploration. Other questions? Well, if there's nothing else, have a great meeting, and we'll see you in the next few days.
That's great, Alex. Enjoy this.